This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Lisa Kilgore, and I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the qualities of being mindful about your health.
That's a great question and a big question. And the basis, it's really based in being present and some self-care. So I'm going to put self-care up beside me for a second because that can cause some stress on its own. So let's start with presence. And it's all being mindful is all about being here right now. And it's really hard to do with our phones going off and our computer in front of us and so many things to think about and be with. But we're missing now. We're missing these moments. And in these moments is where happiness and joy are. And there's a few things that you can do just to bring in some mindful moments. Eating your food can be a great experience of mindfulness, especially a nicely made meal can taste so good if you just sit and chew and enjoy it. Being with family, your children, your partner, loved ones, friends, and just put your phone away and be there with them. I have great, wonderful friends who have much healthier relationships with their phone than I do. And so I love it because I feel bad for taking my phone out because their phone doesn't ever leave their purse. They're people who text like 2 days later. And I'm cool with that because I'd rather... I know that that's just their life. And so we can just be there and have a conversation. There's no secondary thing happening because our brains don't multitask as well as we'd like them to. When we jump from one thing to another thing, it's stressful. It's exhausting. And we're not really with each of those tasks. And I've really had to learn this. I'm not naturally a mindful person. I've actually been taking lessons in presence for the last 3 years. And it changed a lot in my life, and it's harder than I ever expected, but it's made me a better practitioner. I can sit and listen so much better, and because of that, I get to meet people and really meet them, and it's really brought a lot of happiness to my life, and it's all about just for a minute, all I am is here, and that's it. There's nothing more special than that, but it takes some practice and takes some effort.
And does, I know you play in the symphony as well. Does that help you to be present?
Yes, it helps me a lot because it's so complicated that if I'm not present, I'm not playing. And it's this beautiful practice of presence because even just practicing, I know when I'm not present because nothing's working. But if I can kind of bring back, like reel it in and just like be there with it, then it's beautiful. It's really fun. But in the symphony, when I'm playing with 60 other people, if my mind starts wandering, I miss an important part. If I'm not playing, I'm counting. And it's a really, like, it's a heavy duty job. And I've found that every year I've been doing this has become easier to stay present. But I struggled with the counting part where I wasn't playing and I was just counting my rests because I couldn't keep my brain just there because I was so used to spinning off. It's a wonderful practice for my regular everyday life too.
Okay. And can you share some of the things you do around creating food and sitting at the table that helped create that presence practice?
Yes, because part of it is enjoyment. So I eat food that I like. And some of you are going to just be like, yeah, that makes sense. And others are going to hear that because I know I talk to a lot of you. are going to say, what do you mean you just eat food that you like? I don't eat vegetables I don't enjoy. I don't eat proteins I don't enjoy. I make sure that it's food that I'm going to really want to eat. And I've switched my taste buds to ones that loved everything processed to taste buds who love healthy food. And so I make sweet potatoes and broccoli and chicken with cashews. Like it's really wonderful food that doesn't take me a long time to make, maybe 20 minutes. But I'm looking forward to it the whole time. So as I'm cooking, I'm thinking about how lovely this is going to be. If I can share the meal with someone, which I don't always, I live alone. But when I can share a meal with somebody, it makes it even more joyful because then I'm adding to their health. And then I sit down by myself or with somebody and I taste the food. I chew it. I enjoy it. And when my mind wanders off, when I check my email again, I stop myself and say, okay, for this 10 minutes, all I'm doing is eating. And I try to do that practice at least once a day. I don't do every meal that way, but I try to do it at least once a day. And again, I don't always win, but as much as I can, because when I do that, it becomes a bit of a meditation. I find my mind starts to slow down and I can focus better. And I actually get so much more done in a day when I'm focused than when I'm multitasking and thinking and spinning and not mindful at all.
Even putting sweet potatoes and broccoli together, I mean, you've got beautiful colors.
I know. It's so pretty.
Fantastic. Do you think like as an artist, putting it together for a color palette?
It's amazing what happens when your plate just looks pretty. And if you Google, right now you're finding yourself choosing fast options versus whole food options. Just Google some photos of healthy food because it always inspires me to eat it because it's so pretty. When I was first learning about food, my diet was like beyond atrocious. I thought a healthy dinner was fries and peas because at least I had something healthy there, a vegetable, and peas aren't vegetables. And but I would like make the peas because I would make I would want to make my mom happy in case she called, which she always did. And I remember it was when Jamie Oliver's first show, The Naked Chef, was on TV, and I would watch it and he did such a good job at making easy fast food that looked delicious that I would start craving food and I'd be like, oh, I really want to make that. This food is bland and disgusting. And it was over many, many years that it inspired me to make just a little bit more. But I can honestly tell you, other than Thanksgiving dinner, I don't spend a lot of time cooking. And I'm a bit of a fly by the seat of my pants kind of cook. I throw things together to satisfy the flavors that my body wants. So I'm really honoring what my body is looking for. That takes practice, that takes time, but we can all learn how to do that.
And do you have enough for any sweet cravings just through the fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds and things?
I'm a huge sweet craver. As a kid, my parents called me the Cookie Monster. I had like it as a stuffed animal. My sister was the Grouch, so at least, you know, it's a bit more positive. And I love sweets, and I still to this day love sweet. And what I've learned through my nutrition training is the balancing power of sweet. So in other cultures like Indian Ayurvedic medicine, sweet is balancing. So for me to deny that balance would be denying my body something it needs. And so, but instead of having Fruit Loops, I have sweet potatoes and honey and maple syrup and fruits. And I have carbohydrates in my diet, even though they're totally out of style right now, because that's what my body functions best with. And I find when I have fruit in my diet, when I have dark chocolate in my diet, and it's allowed as much as I want, I don't crave cookies. I don't crave these higher sugar foods. But when I do, I buy one. Because if I get it at the beginning of that craving, I become one of those obnoxious people who buy a cookie and eat it over 3 days because I just need a bite of it. But if I denied it, if I kept saying no, 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 once I gave in, because we always give in eventually, then I just gobble it down. So I always, like, if I was at an airport this morning and I almost bought a cookie, but I didn't really need it. But if I want one, I just get one because then I just eat one bite at a time. And then my
body
can.
So you're consciously eating it. Like you taste it. You taste that bite of cookie.
Exactly. And what's really wonderful about conscious eating and mindful eating is that when you take a bite, when you choose to eat a cookie or a piece of cake or something lovely that you love, and you don't do it with guilt, if it's just like, I'm going to eat this and I'm going to enjoy every single bite of it, then you take a bite and you love it and you enjoy it and you don't need very much.
And you also make it a meditation. Like I'm enjoying just watching you think about a good bite of cake.
And the biggest thing that I noticed once I started that practice is that I was usually satisfied halfway through. And because I would feel like I'm like, oh, I've had enough sweet. I'm good. But if I did it with like, I shouldn't be eating this with every bite, I'm going to eat two because nothing has been satisfied. I've just felt guilty the whole time. But when I say, you know what, I want a chocolate lava cake tonight and I eat it, I'm usually like really happy. I'm really happy and satisfied partway through. Sometimes I eat the whole thing, but I'm so happy and I don't need it again for quite a while. because I've really enjoyed it.
So if we're eating mindfully and we taste everything and chew everything and savor everything, our body is much more able to digest that too.
Yes. It thanks you for it because it was asking for something anyways. And so when I first started working as a nutritionist, I worked a lot in conscious eating, and I developed just two questions for us to ask ourselves before having one of those sweet treats, just to make sure that you're going to be doing it mindfully. And what this does is it gives us the choice of whether or not we really want it. Because if anytime you just say, no, I can't have that, it lives on your shoulder and keeps talking to you until you finally give in. But if instead you ask yourself two questions, do I really want to eat this? Answer is yes or no. If it's yes, you ask yourself the second question. So yes, I really want to eat that cookie. Next question. Do I want to eat that cookie so much that I'm willing to stop what I'm doing and go and eat it mindfully? So if I'm at work, I'm going to walk away from my desk and just go and eat it. If I'm watching TV, I'm going to walk away from the TV and just eat it. If you say no, you're not going to worry about that anymore because you made a choice. And if you said yes, go and do it. And the first client of mine that did this 100%, she had this struggle with potato chips, and she would eat a large bag of potato chips every night watching TV. And every single night she'd sit there and she's like, I can go without it for a few weeks, but it always comes back. I said, okay, you can always have your potato chips, but you can't eat them in front of the TV. So I had her do that, those two questions. So she'd be watching TV with her husband. I want potato chips. Yes. Do I want to leave this show and go and eat them? Yes. So she would go and get the bag of chips, go into the dining room. She'd sit down. And after about six or seven chips, her craving was satisfied. And then she'd rather be watching TV than eating potato chips. She still said yes. But now because she ate it mindfully, she ate what her body needed. Her body probably wanted some salt and maybe wanted some potatoes, some of that rooted, grounded vegetable. In 2 weeks, instead of eating 14 bags of potato chips, she barely finished one.
So that's where quality can come in over quantity.
Yeah. Exactly. And when your budget allows for it, I fully believe in spend a bit extra for these treats. My dark chocolate is not cheap dark chocolate, but I only need a square or two. I don't eat a bar. I've never eaten a full bar because I always do it mindfully.
Lisa, I would like to take you home and share a meal with you, but we're going to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about mushrooms.